My bells were still ringing hard, and I didn't think I had time or focus to pull together a spell. And besides, my gun was already right there. It seemed like it would be a waste not to use it. I sighted on the spot where Madeline's heart should have been, and shot her in the belly, which wasn't terrible marksmanship under the circumstances. She cried out and staggered to one knee. Then she looked up, her empty white eyes furious, and stood up, continuing toward me. I shot again and missed, then repeated myself. I gripped the gun with both hands, clenching my teeth as I did, knowing I only had two more rounds. The next shot ripped a piece of meat the size of a racquetball out of one of her biceps, sending her down to one knee and drawing another scream. Before she could start moving again, I aimed and fired the last round. It hit her in the sternum, almost exactly between her wetsuit-contoured breasts. She jerked, her breath exploding from her in a little huff of surprise. She swayed, her eyelids fluttering, and I thought she was about to fall. But she didn't. The vampire's empty white eyes focused on me, and her mouth spread into a maniac's sneer. She reached down and picked up her own fallen weapon. She had to do it left-handed. The right was covered in a sheet of blood and flopped limply. Running low on options, I threw my empty gun at her face. She batted my revolver aside with a Desert Eagle. "You," Madeline said, her voice hollow and wheezing, "are a bad case of herpes, wizard. You're inconvenient, embarrassing, no real threat, and you simply will not go away." "Bitch," I replied, wittily. I still hadn't gotten my head back together. Everything's relative, right? "Don't kill him," Binder rasped. Madeline shot him a look that could freeze vodka. "What?" Binder was sitting on the ground. His shotgun was farther away than he could reach. He must have tossed it there, because when he had fallen, it was still in his hands. Binder had realized precisely how badly the fight had gone for his side, that he had been lamed and therefore probably could not escape, and he was making damn sure that he didn't look armed and dangerous. "Death curse," he said, breathing hard. "He could level the island with it." I drew in my breath, lifted my chin, and tried to keep my eyes from slipping out of focus. "Boom," I said solemnly. Madeline looked bad. One of the bullets might have opened an artery. It was hard to tell in the near darkness. "Perhaps you're right, Binder," she said. "If he was a better shot, I suppose I might be in trouble. As it is, I'm inconvenienced." Her eyes widened slightly, and her tongue lashed quickly over her lips. "And I need to feed if I'm to repair it." She lowered the gun, as if it had suddenly become too heavy to keep supporting. "Don't worry, Binder," she said. "When he's screaming my name, he won't be cursing anyone. And even if he tries it," she shivered, "I'll bet it will taste incredible." She came closer, all pale skin and mangled flesh, and my body suddenly went insane with lust. Stupid body. It had a lot more cloud at the moment than it usually did, with my mind still reeling from the blast. I aimed a punch at Madeline's face. She caught my hand as the weak blow came in and kissed the inside of my wrist. Sweet silver lightning exploded up my arm and down my spine. Whatever was left of my brain went away, and the next thing I knew, she was pressing her chest against mine, her mouth against mine, slowly, sensuously overbearing me. And then a burned corpse came out of the woods. That was all I could think of to describe it. Half the body was blacker than a hamburger that had fallen through the bars of a charcoal grill. The rest was red and purple and swollen with bruises and bloody blisters, with very, very occasional strips of pale white skin. A few wisps of dark hair were attached to her skull. I say her because technically the corpse was female, though that hardly mattered amongst all the burned and pulverized meat that smelled slightly of tequila. The only things I really recognized were the cold silver eyes. Lara Wraith's eyes were bright with an insane rage and a terrible hunger as she snaked her bruised, swollen left arm around Madeline's windpipe and tightened it with a horrible strength. Madeline cried out as her head was jerked back sharply, and then she made no sound at all as the wind was trapped inside her lungs. The burned, blackened corpse that was Lara Wraith dug one fire-ruined hip into Madeline's upper back, using Madeline's own spine as a fulcrum against her. Lara spoke, and her voice was something straight from hell. It was lower, smokier, but every bit as lovely as it ever was. "Madeline," she purred, "I've wanted to do this with you since we were little girls." Lara's burned black right hand, withered, it seemed, down to bones and sinew, reached slowly, sensually around Madeline's straining abdomen. Slowly, very slowly, Lara sunk her fingertips into flesh, just beneath the floating rib on Madeline's left flank. Madeline's face contorted, and she tried to scream. Lara shuddered, her shoulders twisted, and she ripped an open furrow as wide as her four fingers across Madeline's stomach, pale flesh parting as wet red and gray things slithered out. Lara's tongue emerged from her mouth, bright pink, and touched Madeline's earlobe. "Listen to me," she hissed. Her burned hand continued pulling things out of Madeline's body, a hideous intimacy. "Listen to me." Power shuddered in those words. I felt an insane desire to rush toward Lara's ruined flesh and give her my ears, ripped off with my own fingers if necessary. Madeline shuddered, the strength gone out of her body. Her mouth continued trying to move, but her eyes went unfocused at the power in Lara's voice. "For once in your life," Lara continued, kissing Madeline's throat with her burned, broken lips, "you are going to be useful."